Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. As always, so glad you're here for a great trip report. Let's take a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World here for the next 35 minutes or so. We have listener Hope standing by to share her trip. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of, insert your favorite Instagrammable foodie snack at Walt Disney World here, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. Tell Len we said hello over at touringplans.com. We mean it. We love when our listeners use our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Every purchase, even the small ones, do add up and it helps support the podcast. You're going to get all those Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and each purchase helps support the show. So again, anytime you do that shopping on Amazon, please click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1481 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com, which is newly redesigned, so check it out this week. And also one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope that you had an awesome weekend. Got out there and hopefully you had some great weather. Got to spend some time with friends and family. And now we're back to the grind. But let's get to work or school or get that exercise in or even doing the laundry today with some fun Disney talk. And of course, we're talking about heading to Walt Disney World. And today we're going to talk about going down over one of the busiest times of the year. And I know a lot of our runners have recently signed up for Marathon Weekend 2020, so it's just about the same time. So get ready for that. Hope is joining me today from down in Georgia. Hope, how you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Love, you know, anytime I'm on the podcast here, it's one of the best parts of my week. Love talking Disney, love meeting new folks, and love hearing about Disney trips, because no matter how many shows we've done, almost 1,500 now, I pick something up every show that might make my next trip better, and I hope that our listeners do as well. So excited to hear what you have to share today.
Yeah, awesome. I'm excited to share about it.
Alrighty, well, before we jump into the trip, we're going to talk a little New Year's Eve and, you know, kind of heading off towards Marathon Weekend with a larger group of folks. Let me get a little background. I've been doing this the last couple months with our folks that come on Mondays. What's your background with Disney? Why are you on a Disney podcast tonight? Why do you listen to Disney shows? Why are you such a big Disney fan?
Yeah, well, actually, we've gone down the past, I think, 3 or 4 years for New Year's Eve. The first time we did it, it was just my husband and I. Before we were married, we were dating. We went down, you know, just for fun for New Year's Eve. Why not go to Epcot? And we fell in love with it. We were like, this is the best thing ever. Why would we go anywhere else for New Year's Eve? And my husband worked at Disney. He did the college program way back in the day. And so we went down there for New Year's Eve, and we went back several times with friends. This past year, we ended up somehow with a group of 12 people that came with us. And it was just awesome. We love it. Every year we go, it's so much fun.
So was it your husband's idea to kind of, you know, get back there, that since he had completed the college program, wanted to show you the place that maybe he fell in love with on the college program?
Yeah, yeah. And he worked at Epcot at Soarin', so that's why we decided to go there for New Year's Eve. The first year we went, we loved it. And so we went again and we brought a couple friends. And then, you know, this year we just invited several more people, and it ended up with 12, and it was awesome. It was such a great time. So,
your husband worked at Soarin', so tell me, he has to. Now, I'll be so disappointed if he doesn't walk around and go, "Nice work, pal!" Like all the time. Like yes. I would have to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He has that whole, you know, thing memorized. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Welcome to Soar. Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, that's a cool attraction to work there. All right, so you got the background there, and you guys know Disney really well. Now, why did you pick New Year's Eve? I mean, it's a fun holiday, and I've gone down many years for New Year's Eve. But, I mean, it's like you're on the brink of chaos at all times, but it's also a fun chaos. So why did you pick that for that first time that you went down on New Year's Eve, and you keep going back?
Yeah. Well, so he, for several years before we even met, did the marathon down there, and, you know, the dopey and all those crazy things that people do.
I would never do that. That's just like the dopey's just stupid. Oh, no, thanks.
yeah. Well, you know, somehow he convinced me to do that, and it kind of overlapped on New Year's, I think, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But we ended up just staying for the whole time. And for New Year's, we were like, oh, yeah, we're doing the marathon, so we might as well, you know, we're going to be down there around the same time, so just stay for New Year's. So that's kind of how we ended up there for New Year's Eve a couple years ago.
And it's a bummer how the calendar worked out last year for Marathon Weekend 2019, and it's going to be the same way for this year, 2020, that there's a gap between New Year's and Marathon Weekend, because I did the exact same thing for like 3 years in a row. You could go down, say, on December 29th, December 30th, kind of arrive, do New Year's, and then Marathon Weekend would start on the 3rd or 4th. You know, it was a great way to celebrate the holiday, get everybody together, and be there for Marathon Weekend on the same trip. I really miss that.
Yeah, and I remember the first year we went, and I think it was the first year, we were just doing the half, because I had just started getting into running, so we were doing the half marathon, and it got canceled because thunderstorms or something like that. But I think that was the first year we went down for New Year's, maybe, if I'm thinking correctly. It was like the 20th anniversary or something, or 25th.
Yeah, it was 25th. It was the 25th for the marathon. Yeah, and
okay.
So let me ask you this, because that ended up being one of my favorite trips. The year that the half didn't happen, did you? Because we got out there and I ran the half marathon in the pouring rain that day, just around the boardwalk and beach club and yacht club and over to the studios and back with Paige, my daughter, and my best friend Scott. Did you get out there? Or did you see anything interesting that day? Because it was kind of cool to see. It was weird how things popped up on that Saturday.
Yeah, so I remember, so it got canceled, and we found out, I think, the night before, so we didn't have to wake up, you know, at 3 a.m. and find out it was canceled then. But I remember we went, I think, to Epcot that day that we were supposed to be running, and we weren't one of the people that decided to get up and run anyways. We just went to the parks and you know, got ice cream and churros and walked around. But we did see people actually running it. So I know people did kind of earn that, you know, half marathon medal that we got, but we didn't. We were just like, ah, it's canceled. Cool. We'll just go to the parks.
You were smart.
So no, we didn't.
That's how you do it. It's an opportunity to go have ice cream. Who needs to run? You did it right.
Yeah. We were like, ah, oh, no, we'll do it next year.
It'll always be there. That's fun. No, it was just, it ended up being one of my favorite times because we just kept hearing stories. You know, you only saw like where you stayed. So we were at Boardwalk that year. So we ran around the Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club, and out to the studios. I mean, in the pouring rain, and one time a big thunderclap came down. I thought for sure we were dead. I'm like, this is why it was canceled, because we're going to die. And, you know, we were soaking to sopping wet when we got back. But I mean, like the pictures and the smiles we have, just because we're looking at each other like, could we be any bigger idiots, like doing what we're doing right now? Because, you know, we were all signed up for the dopey, so we didn't want to not do the 13. You know, it wouldn't have meant as much on Sunday, at least to us, the way we were thinking at that time. But it was one of the best memories I've ever had in a Run Disney race, and the race never happened. So I when you brought that up, I just smiled because I loved that day.
and I remember seeing people, you know, we were walking on the boardwalk and we saw people, you know, cheering on and running, and we were like, yeah, good for you, but we're just gonna go, you know, ride Thorin or Test Tracker, you know, have fun. We're not doing that.
That's awesome. All right, so let's jump into your trip, because I want to hear all about it. So you had a group of 12. So how did you get the gang together for this big New Year's trip?
Yeah, so actually, I don't even really remember how this all came about, but the year before we had, I think, seven people with us, and that was a pretty good number. and I think people just invited friends and siblings, and they just had such a great time. Kind of word spread around a little bit, and we're all kind of part of a little college community. We had a lot of us had just graduated from college. This was kind of like a entering the adult world kind of trip, I guess. I don't know. Most of us are around 24, 25, kind of just now getting into careers and whatnot. So I guess, you know, just word of mouth kind of spread, and we somehow collected 12 people that, you know, could go.
So how did you guys plan? How'd you plan the trip with that many people? Because the more people you get for a trip, the more fun it is going to be once you get there. But there's also, you know, it gets exponentially more difficult trying to, you know, juggle schedules and people's likes, dislikes mm-hmm. with dining, fast passes. You know, some people like the mm-hmm. early birds, some people like to sleep in. So how'd you guys plan this all out so that everybody was trying to have a good time?
Yeah, so it was nice because we used the GroupMe app, which is kind of like a group chat. And we would just put something out there and say, hey, you know, if we had these two options, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster of Tower of Terror, which one would you rather, if we could only pick one, ride? And then, you know, they would let us know, and we kind of use those polls to decide what we were going to do. And also, luckily for us, my husband and I are huge Disney people, but not many of the people that came with us really know much about Disney.
Nice, that's
so
good.
They just kind of let us plan it.
Yeah, that's actually it's actually better that way. Like you said, I mean, you nailed it right on the head, because it's you don't want to have 12 people that are all Disney nuts, because everybody's got their own agenda. Like if you have just a couple people driving the bus, you're much better off.
Yeah, exactly. We were like, okay, we're gonna stay at one of the all-star resorts. You know, which one of these three, you know, would you prefer? And none of them cared at all. But if it was a bunch of Disney nuts, they probably all have different opinions about which one was better and which food court was better, whatever, I don't know. That kind of thing.
So did the All-Stars work out fine for you guys for this kind of trip?
Yeah, and actually, so we stayed at All-Star Sports, and I loved it. We didn't have any problems. And the year before, we stayed at Pop Century, and I noticed that the buses got to us a lot quicker at All-Star Sports than they ever did at Pop Century. And I don't know why, maybe it was just like an off week, but especially coming home from New Year's Eve, you know, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, everyone's exhausted. We waited like maybe 15 minutes for the bus for All-Star, but when we stayed at Pop Century, we waited like an hour and a half or something crazy. So I don't know, maybe that was just some kind of weird coincidence, but we had a great experience with it.
That's good to hear. You just gave me like a cold shiver thinking about buses to a value mm-hmm. on New Year's Eve, which I've done it. I stay at the mm-hmm. values. I mean, nothing wrong with it. But boy, on New Year's Eve, some of those lines get so, you know, I actually got into a car with Ricky on New Year's Eve and took my life into my own hands just because I didn't want to get one of those lines a few years back. And I'm barely here. We made it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we drove our first year doing New Year's Eve at Epcot. We drove. It took us, I think, 2 hours to get out of the parking lot. So never again.
Oh, yeah. And there's like,
you know, we're gonna stick to the buses.
And there's like road rage in that parking lot that night. Cause I've done that too. Cause we were stuck in there. We rode with somebody, like they drove. We're like, let's ride with you. Cause Ricky had parked somewhere where he didn't have a huge issue getting out. I can't remember. Like this was back, you know, mm-hmm. like 5-6 years ago, where he could probably park at like mm-hmm. Beach Club or something, or Boardwalk. I don't remember. But, you know, I think we had dinner before we went into the park. It's like Beaches and Cream. I can't remember what we did, but yeah, one time we were leaving the main Epcot parking lot on New Year's Eve, and I was just like, somebody's going to get killed. Because people were, you know, like inching their way in. You know, it's like, okay, you jerk. You know, like, I've been waiting just as long as you. Like, come on. You know, just mm-hmm. people are going to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the happiest place on earth at that, you know, 2 a.m. in the parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's nuts.
So what were some of the highlights? I mean, it is busy, but there's ways to really have a great time over even those really busy holidays. What do you remember back on that trip?
Yeah. So one of the best things that we've kind of figured out that we can do is we went for, you know, 5 park days, and, you know, getting the 6th day at that point, it's like, you know, I think $20 or something to add on another day. So since we live in Georgia, we decided that we were going to add on that extra day. We woke up really early that first morning, drove down and checked into our room and whatnot. And on the 30th, the day before New Year's Eve, you can go to Magic Kingdom and watch the New Year's Eve fireworks the day before New Year's Eve. Because New Year's Eve at Magic Kingdom is, you know, an absolute crazy mess. So we did that the day before, so we kind of could double up on the New Year's Eve fireworks, and we did Magic Kingdom on the 30th, and then on the 31st, we saw the Epcot fireworks. So it was just awesome to be able to see both of those amazing shows, kind of, you know, cheat the system a little bit. And everyone we were with just loved that. It was so much fun.
And that's a great way to start it off too. Like, you guys left that morning, got there that evening, where you probably weren't as tempted to try to do, you know, say, you know, 10 attractions and have a meal and watch the fireworks. It was kind of, it seems to me like maybe that first day over the Magic Kingdom seeing the 30th New Year's Eve fireworks was just kind of like a little gravy. We're just getting our feet wet here.
Yeah. And I mean, it was like 20 or 30 bucks, I don't remember, to add on that extra day. But we checked into our hotel at like 2 or something and took everyone over. And a lot of these people that were with us are in their 20s, never really had like a Disney experience when they were younger. And we stopped by the Polynesian and, you know, just hung out there for a little bit. And their minds were just blown by that. You know, someone that's never seen a Disney resort going there we took the boat over. And it, just that whole experience for them was really awesome to get that just even for half a day. And we had a couple fast passes for, you know, Space Mountain and Thunder and some of those big rides that everyone hears about, and just having that first night, even just for a couple hours, was like an awesome start to the trip.
That is, I mean, especially, I can just picture, you know, walking through the Polynesian, that is so Disney. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you're at the Polynesian, you see the monorail right there, you see the Magic Kingdom from a distance, then you get to go there, see the best fireworks of the year, ride a couple of e-ticket attractions. Yeah, you guys probably sold them within 15 minutes out of me. You'd have me sold. This is cool. I'm in.
Yeah, they loved it. And we walked past Ohana, and you can see Stitch and, you know, everyone in there. And they were just like, oh my gosh, there's characters not even in the parks. Like, you can see them right here. You know, it's just little things like that that you kind of forget after going to Disney for years. You're like, oh yeah, of course. Like, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. So
awesome.
Let me ask you this, though, because, okay, so you got there, you got all, you know, got going, you know, right away, which is awesome. But we get this question a lot on the show, and I think everybody has a different way to go about it. How did you guys, being Disney fans and knowing what you're getting yourself into, how do you guys handle New Year's Eve day? Because obviously you want to be there for the fireworks at midnight. So, you know, those people that go rope drop, like, that is a super long day on like the busiest day of the year. So we, you know, do it a little differently, but how did you guys do it?
Yeah. And actually we have a whole system set up for this now going for several years, and my husband is such a planner. He has, like, you know, spreadsheets galore and all kinds of things that we've figured out the best way to do this. And what we've done in the past with going to Epcot for New Year's Eve, we've never gone to Magic Kingdom, so I have no idea. But for Epcot, it doesn't usually reach capacity, so we sleep in, you know, go around noon maybe, or even a little bit later. You know, it's not going to fill up and they're not going to stop letting people in. At least in the past, they haven't really done that. So sleep in, you know, you're going to be there for hours and hours. So we typically sleep in. We spread out the fast passes quite a bit because, you know, you want those little breaks throughout the day of getting out of the crowds. And one thing that we always do that really makes a difference is we make a late lunch reservation, like at 3 or 3:30, somewhere that you can go get out of the crowd and go sit down and just relax for, you know, an hour and a half. And what we did this trip is we split up because we had 12 people and everybody, you know, wants different food. We split up. We did 6 people at Rose and Crown and 6 people at Tokyo Dining. So if you wanted, you know, sushi or whatever, you could go there. If you wanted fish and chips, go to Rose and Crown. And just, you know, relax and hang out there for like an hour and a half and get out of the crowd. And that is one of the highlights, where you can just kind of take a deep breath, get away from the crowd and all the people that are crazy.
You are. That's exactly how you got to do it, though. I mean, if people are listening today and you're going on New Year's Eve, do this. I mean, because we've learned the same thing. What we do, we sleep in. We'd have a pool day. We'll go into Epcot, say around, like you said, like around 3 o'clock in the air. There's no rush. Like, you're going to be there a long time.
Yeah.
and you're not doing a ton of attractions anyway. So, you know, we get there like late afternoon, and we, instead of a late lunch, we always have kind of an early dinner ADR. We'll eat dinner on 5 yeah. o'clock. One year we ate at Chefs de France. One year we ate at Teppanito. But yeah, it's, and then, you know, you're like, you know, from like 5 to 7, we were sitting down, eating a meal out of the nut, you know, nut houseness or the madness of Epcot. And then, you know, by the time we came out of dinner, 7:30, they're giving out the horns, you know, the noisemakers, the hats, and, you know, the DJs are playing. So then it's the party from 7 to midnight, which is very fun because you're not exhausted from being there from 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. That was our mistake the first year that we went. I think we even rope dropped. I don't even know what we were thinking, but we were exhausted. So the second year we went, we kind of did this, and it's just awesome where you can get out and just relax. And I think our first year we tried to get a, you know, some kind of quick service place, but there's nowhere to sit because there's so many people. So having that reservation where you know, okay, at least at 4 o'clock I can sit down somewhere, is just kind of a little bit of a relief. So we do that, and then since, you know, we're all in our 20s and we still like to do these kinds of things, we go to all the, you know, the silent disco and all those dance parties at the China Pavilion.
Yeah, the fire-breathing dragon.
UK.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was just so funny with so many of these people, you know, they're in their 20s and they think of Disney as like, you know, it's a small world. And that's the only thing they really know about Disney. And they're like, wow, the fire-breathing dragon and, you know, a DJ. And it's just awesome. So yeah, we do that for a couple hours.
So now, okay, so New Year's Eve is off. So obviously, was everybody, because those are some of the best fireworks I've ever seen. The ground literally shakes on holidays. Well,
yes.
You know, now that Illuminations is going away, it's kind of breaking my heart. But I'm sure the next one will have something for the holidays too. But what did your friends say that weren't Disney initiated when the finale hit for Illuminations? Because I think it's shocking the first time. You're like, is this really, like, is the ground supposed to be shaking? Am I supposed to be getting hit by shells, you know, little scraps here and there? I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was one of my favorite things, because the first year we went, and it was just, you know, my husband and I, and we were just blown away. Like, my jaw just completely dropped. And so this year, when the finale went off, my husband was filming, and it looked like he was filming the fireworks, but he was actually filming everyone's expressions in our group. And it was so funny just to go back and look at that, and everyone, just their eyes got huge, and they were just like covering their mouths and saying, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Is this supposed to happen?
Exactly.
Like, this is an accident. Because it almost looks like, you know, did they mean to set off that many fireworks? but that was absolutely one of the highlights of my whole trip, was seeing everyone's reaction to not only Illuminations, but especially the New Year's Eve finale is just incredible at Epcot. Unreal.
One of my favorite things ever. That's what I'm going to miss. The holiday tag, the, you know, 4th of July, New Year's Eve, just, you know, they Illuminations is awesome. Don't get me wrong. I love the music and I love the fireworks show, but they really plussed it on those special days. So, yeah, I've got forever. Let's roll October 1st. I'm waiting for you. I'm pointing at you. Don't let us down.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Are
you excited for that?
Emotional.
But I think I like the idea of Epcot Forever, because even though I didn't, you know, I wasn't somebody that was in the parks like in the 80s, I like the idea of, you know, celebrating Disney, you know, Disney celebrating itself, Epcot celebrating itself for a little while.
Yeah, I like the idea of it. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There you
go. I think it's a good idea.
Smart. Okay, so you have, you know, a whole bunch more days, and, you know, you survived the madness of New Year's Eve. You have New Year's Day. What other memories kind of stick out from the rest of the trip?
Yeah. Especially going with kind of this age is a little different, because, you know, you're not with little kids, so we didn't really go meet a bunch of characters or anything like that. I feel like typically if you have small children, or if you're, you know, parents with small kids, you want to go do things, you know, for the younger kids. And so we did a lot of the shows, and one of my favorite things always every time we go down is Festival of the Lion King, and seeing, you know, people experience that for the first time, you know, people my age that kind of grew up with The Lion King, you know, coming out when we were young, and just seeing that live is, you know, it's just awesome. And everyone's clapping and doing the animal noises. And that was one of my favorite memories for sure. Just seeing everyone enjoy that and seeing it for the first time.
That's an underrated show, too. Like, people don't talk enough about that show. That show is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty of it, too. I'll go down for a week and not go to the show because, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to Everest, or, oh, we're going over to Pandora, you know, and doing all this. And then, you know, the week's gone. I didn't go. And the next time I do walk in there, I'm like, I should do this every trip. This, like, these guys are talented. The singers, the acrobats. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And we go down. We have annual passes, and we go down pretty often. So we have our favorite performers in that show. So it'll come out, and the guy that's the big lead singer will come out, and it's my husband's favorite one, and he's like, oh, it's the one I like, and you know, he gets so excited about it, and it's just so much fun. We love it. That was one of my favorite memories too from this trip.
We all want pipes like that guy.
Yeah. Oh, I wish.
That's awesome. All right. So walk us through some of the other, stories. Like, you know, I just think it's really special when you get to go with extra, you know, people that are not as immersed into it, like daily reading blogs and stuff like that, because it's a cool perspective because everything's fresh and new. So what else stood out for them?
Yeah. One thing really, and Animal Kingdom is my favorite park personally, so maybe I'm a little bit biased for this, but We spent a whole day in Animal Kingdom. We rope dropped and stayed until the park closed. And one of the things that really, I don't know how we managed to do this, but we got 12 fast passes for Flight of Passage.
Oh my, wait a second. No, that didn't happen. I gotta ring the bell on that one. No, that couldn't happen.
let me tell you, my husband and I are both teachers, and he was sitting there right at like 7 o'clock or whenever it was time exactly to make those fast passes. And he somehow did it, and he texted me in all caps and said, I got fast passes for Flight of Passage for all of us.
See, my wife would never believe me. She doesn't believe me half the time because I'm always making stuff up anyway. But yeah, she'd be like, yeah, right, okay, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that was nuts. I can't believe you did that. And seeing everybody's reaction getting off of that ride, they were just, you know, going nuts. Their minds were blown. So that was awesome.
My favorite teacher story back when I used to teach up until a couple of years ago. I shouldn't tell this, but you guys said you're both teachers, so you might appreciate this. So, and because you guys have run the marathon, so you'll get this. Marathon registration was always at 10 o'clock a.m. Central. Okay, it wasn't, I think it started at 11 on the East Coast, but it was 10 o'clock a.m. Central, which is brutal for a teacher. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's dead in the middle of the morning, you know, so this is so bad. I taught gifted, so I'd only have like 10 kids at a time. Because we had like small groups, individual projects and stuff. So I'd always on I told my teacher next door, I told her it's race registration day. So at 9:45, I'm going to send my kids over. And then at like 10:30, I'll come get them as long as everything's good. And I'd herd my class out. They knew, like, Mr. Rahman signed up for another race. It's a big one. So I'd send them over with their work. And I'd sit there, have my computer from the school. I had my like laptop, like on my hotspot, my iPad. And it looked like mission control. But yeah, when it was time to register for a race, it's kind of like the fast pass thing. I'm like, okay, kids, you got to go. Like, this is important. Seriously, I get one shot at this. And I'll be grumpy the whole rest of the year if I don't get in this race. So yeah, crazy stuff. I can't believe we do this stuff just to go to Disney.
Oh, yeah, I know. The first time I signed up for the marathon, because I did those marathon last January. Oh, my gosh, I can't even remember. And it was when I was in my first year of student teaching. So, kind of my first teaching experience. And that's when the registration was. And so I think I don't even remember what I said. I was like, yeah, I got to send an email or I don't know, something ridiculous.
I've heard
I was doing all this crazy stuff. I don't even know.
I've heard of people the people that work like in the business world that have like, you know, real offices and stuff. You know, I just have my desk in the corner of my classroom, but you know, like they would put like police tape on their door, like do not enter, you know, like a quarter till, you know, don't bug me. Don't even be on the internet, you know, and then I'll see it, you know, half past the hour. No, that's the stuff we do. So, well, let me ask you real quick. How was marathon? Did you have a good race?
Yeah, it was great. It was my first ever marathon experience. And actually, this is a crazy story because we had gone, we were doing a 10-day trip, and the very last day was the marathon, which would not recommend. Oh, man. I'm so
yeah, no
tired.
Kidding.
Yeah. But that, you know, and the day before we rested, we just hung out at the resort, but I got some kind of stomach bug. So I woke up the day of the marathon, you know, at like 3 o'clock, and I threw up twice.
Oh.
And so I texted my parents. They came down to watch, and I said, hey, I'm not going to be able to run today. I just, you know, I got sick. And you know, 10 minutes later, I felt fine. So I texted them again and said, hey, you know, I actually feel okay now. I think I'm going to run. So I went and I did the whole race somehow after throwing up everything in my body, you know, twice.
Gosh, that's
and
crazy.
I have no idea how I survived that because, you know, I don't know. But the only thing I could think of is I've been training for this for a whole year.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I paid for it. I'm just going to try.
That's it.
Yeah, and I pushed through, and it was so much fun, and I can't wait to do another one. We didn't do it this year. We just didn't have enough time to train. We, you know, got new jobs and whatnot teaching. But anyways, I can't wait to do another one. It was an awesome experience, and I recommend it to everyone.
Well, that year you mentioned at the top of the show where the half was canceled, we had a lot of our folks on the Lizards that ended up being marathoners. This was the craziest thing. This is like the thing that warmed my heart the most. People that we're just going down to run a half marathon, which is a huge feat in itself, a 13-mile race. But what they gave you the option was, instead of getting your money back, oh, you can just run the full marathon tomorrow if you want. You know, like, oh, yeah, you know, just run another 13 on top of it. You're not trained for it, really. And so many of our Lizards, I mean, there were at least 10 folks, I think, that became marathoners on that Sunday that on Friday had no idea they were ever going to run 26.2.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. I can't even imagine that. And we thought about it, but we ended up, when they gave us that option to get our money back, we just decided to do Star Wars. So we just pushed our registration to the Star Wars. And that was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had. Too. Star Wars half was so much fun.
Yes.
Highly recommend it. It was an awesome race.
Yeah.
I really loved that one.
I do like that one. I missed it this year. It was a hot one. So I'm kind of glad I missed it this year. But the year before, it was awesome. Like, it was nice and cool and just perfect. And I had a flight to catch, so I was actually running as fast as I could. I wanted to go get home, so it was a good time.
No, it was great. We really loved that one. It was so much fun.
All right, so we're going to have to wrap up here shortly, but I want to hear more about, you know, just – like memories that stand out. And you guys were kind of, like you said, like younger adults where you're just kind of getting into your full-time career. So it's kind of a great time of your life where, you know, you're out of school, you're finishing up school, you're getting into your career. So you're just kind of really celebrating all that, the transition. Now, did you guys celebrate, like, did you have any big meals? You mentioned, you know, New Year's Eve, you did Rose and Crown. You also did Tokyo Dining, but was dining a central focus for this trip, or was it just something you did is kind of coming and going?
Yeah, so we kind of tried to make it a little bit more of a central focus because the first year that we went, we kind of, you know, it wasn't, we just kind of did our own thing because we're huge Disney people and it was just my husband and I. The second year when we went with 7 people, we would go to a lot of the quick service places and all of our friends that were with us just kept getting like chicken nuggets and french fries, and we were like, no, you gotta, you know, branch out a little bit, get something different. And they were like, yeah, but this is a theme park, you know, you can't get good food. So kind of trying to break down some of those, I don't know, misconceptions about Disney and just trying to order the chicken nuggets. No offense to that, you know, that's fine if that's your thing. But you know, we went to a couple of nicer places, but we also introduced them to, like, the South Philly Canteen, and they loved that. And we were like, wow, this is actually really good.
So good.
Yes. So stuff like that. And we did try to kind of do it on a budget because a lot of them are still in college and, you know, kind of on a little bit of a budget there. But, yeah, we did Rose and Crown and Tokyo Dining and I feel like we went somewhere else, but maybe not. Maybe that was it.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. What about Tokyo Dining? Because I don't think I've never been there, and I've been to Walt Disney World a bunch of times and gone to Teppanito quite a few times. Never Tokyo Dining. Like, that one just flies under the radar, I think, for most people. So what'd you think?
Yeah, so this part, this is kind of funny because, we split our group into six and six, and six of us went to Rose and Crown, six of us went to Tokyo Dining. And actually, my husband and I, since we were, I don't know, we were kind of like the parent figures of this trip, I guess, even though we were their age. We split up, so I went to Rose and Crown.
Okay.
He went to Tokyo Dining, but he loved it, and they all said it was really, really good. So I'm looking forward to going back there, because we do the same thing. We always go to Tepito if we're eating at Japan. But they loved it. They said it was so good. And, of course, Rose and Crown was great, too. Always love going there.
I got to get out of that rut because, I mean, Tepanito is really good, but we have a place that's exactly the same here in St. Louis. You know, it's called Kyoto or something. Like, they make it at your table. They do the exact same, you know, knife tricks and the onion and the toot-toot. I mean, it's, you know, it's exactly the same act. You know, the food tastes very similar. So why don't, I think I'm going to have to do that this summer. I say that every time and I always go back to my same old places every time. So terrible. But, Tokyo Diner is on the, it's on my list.
Yeah, well, and there's a really good place there, apparently, to watch Illumination. So we were kind of considering maybe going there at some point to watch Illumination before it's gone, but we'll see.
All right, well, before we wrap up, let me ask you this, because you're a big Disney fan, and before we close, like, what are a couple of your favorite snacks? Now that we've talked a little food, like, when you go down, what do you have to have as far as a snack?
All right, this is a little bit of a dangerous subject because this is like my main goal when I go to Disney most times is just to eat as many snacks as possible.
Me too.
And a lot of times I don't even eat meals. I just have so many snacks that, you know, by the time it gets to lunchtime or whatever, I'm not really that hungry. But one of the things that I love, and I just realized that they have it again, is the cream cheese pretzel.
Yes.
They took it away for a while, but it's back. And I can't wait to get it next time we go down. I think they have it in Tomorrowland now. It's one of my favorite things ever, and it's not, you know, super cute and Instagrammable.
No.
Like,
who cares?
You know, a lot of those snacks, but it's delicious.
I love those things. I'm right with you. Oh, they're so good.
Yeah. They're so good. But I did try one of those new, it's not a Dole Whip, but it's similar to a Dole Whip. It's like the lemon, I don't know, it's called like the Lost Princess ice cream. And it's basically just a Dole Whip, but lemon. And that was really good. We had that our last trip that we went down and highly recommend it.
Nice.
So good.
Nice. I'm right with you though on the snacks. I like it. Yeah. You get a little salty, a little sweet. So maybe a couple more. What else? Because you sound like a snack expert. I'm liking this.
Yes. Oh my gosh, there's so many things. There's sometimes my husband will get, if you're in Epcot, they have this different types of flavored popcorn. There's one that is like buffalo blue cheese flavored popcorn.
Yep.
Or something. And he'll get that sometimes. I can't eat a bunch of it because I don't do a lot of spicy, but honestly, a couple handfuls of that really like hits the spot sometimes. It's really good.
And I believe that's over by the Imagination Pavilion, between Imagination and the Land, right? That's where you get it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's where it is. It's so good. And of course, churros. I usually get a churro or two when I'm down there, but you know, how can you not?
Mallory and I call them churros because they make us cheerful every time we're eating them. So they're churros.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's so many times I'm like, you know, I don't really want one this trip. And then you walk by a stand
whatever.
And smell it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
you just can't.
Is that cinnamon? I need a churro. Exactly. I need a churro. Okay, so we got to wrap this up. Let me ask you one last question to kind of put a bow on this show, and it's been so much fun. You went with this larger group. You went during one of the craziest times of the year, and you took some noobs. You know, you took some folks that didn't know, you know, they probably didn't know all the, you know, ADRs, FPs, you know, TTCs, TTA. They're probably like, just speak English. You know, it's like they don't understand all that maybe. So what advice do you have for somebody that's going down, busy time, taking new folks? What do you say to them?
Yeah, so this is kind of our second experience taking down some new people to Disney, and I would just say kind of slow it down a little bit and let them enjoy like the little things that you don't think about. It's sometimes going to Disney so often, you just kind of get into a groove and say, okay, we're going to do these three fast passes, and then when those are up, we're going to do this next one, and we're going to ride this, and we're going to go eat here. But just little things like riding the monorail, some of the people we were with, like they loved it. And getting to, you know, pull up alongside Magic Kingdom and you see the castle. And I mean, even though, yeah, maybe you're 24, but like, it's like you're a little kid again. And you're pulling up around and you're like, oh my gosh, there's the castle. So just like enjoying the little things and not trying to race, you know, from place to place as fast as possible.
That's great.
Enjoy the little things.
You know what? I think too, you know, as I think about what you said, and I think you're spot on with that. That is perfect advice. Mm-hmm. I think it is so much fun for the person that's in your shoes or like my shoes, the person who's been multiple times, you know, many times, and I'm taking folks, trying to expose them to this. It's almost like it warms your heart to see them exploring these things for the very first time. It takes you back to when the first time you saw the castle or the first time you got to ride the monorail. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I remember we watched Happily Ever After. And when Tinkerbell comes and flies down, you know, you can be, you know, whatever age you are, seeing that for the first time just, like, is the best thing ever. You know, it's so exciting.
All right. Well, Hope, thank you so much for kicking off the week. This is a great trip. I mean, I love that these are on Mondays because, you know, you get a case of the Mondays. Hopefully this picks you up a little bit and kicks you in the butt and gets you going with some magic. I like that. So sounds like you had a great trip. And I'll see it marathon weekend one of these years. So, you know, I bet you the marathon's still open for 2020. I'm just saying. If you can make it work.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll think about it. I don't know.
Don't think too hard. You won't sign up. You just got to sign up. All right. Well, Hope, thanks again. And hope to see you down the park soon.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. You need those folks on the busiest times of the year, like New Year's Eve, Christmas, all the holidays, especially like President's Day, Martin Luther King Day. That's when it gets crazy, too. They're going to keep you out of line, seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. So drop by, check out all the great services they offer. And just for the price of a couple of Instagrammable snacks, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out over at touringplans.com. And thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast with our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits, and it does help support the show. Once again, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Let's make this week awesome. Let's get out there and make somebody's day on a Monday and it'll pick up their whole week. Let's do that. Let's make this a great week. So for Hope, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.